Williams College in Western Massachusetts is in the process of digitizing a large collection of photographs, video, and audio tapes from pre-Taliban Afghanistan. The material comes from a controversial program originally funded by the U.S. government in the late 1980s. The goal at that time was to train Afghan rebels as journalists. From member station WBUR, Jason Bobian reports.
During the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan in the 1980s, the U.S. government was giving hundreds of millions of dollars a year in military aid to the Mujahideen rebels. Few news organizations, however, were willing to send reporters to cover the guerrilla conflict, and thus the war against the Soviets was getting very little attention in the Western press. The State Department, through the U.S. Information Agency, wanted to change that, so officials there decided to train Mujahideen refugees in Pakistan as journalists, send them back into Afghanistan to cover the war, and then distribute their news reports around the world.
Granted, the U.S. had a motive here. They were trying to embarrass the Soviet Union in Afghanistan, and they thought more media coverage of the war would help.
Nick Mills, a professor at Boston University, went to Peshawar, Pakistan in 1987 to start what would become the Afghan Media Resource Center. With $500,000 in backing from the U.S. State Department, Mills set out to train Mujahideen rebels as objective journalists. And he says it was a difficult war to cover.
You had to go in with a group of Mujahideen, and you had to walk in over the mountains. You could walk for a couple of weeks, cover a skirmish or a battle, and then walk out. You know, and a month later, you call your editor and say, well, I got this story about a little skirmish, you know, inside Afghanistan.
The rebels turned reporters weren't deterred by the arduous terrain or by the prospect of hiking for weeks to get a single story while the war raged around them. They brought back footage of guerrilla attacks on the Soviets, but they didn't just shoot war images. On their journeys to and from the front lines, the more than 30 journalists chronicled life in the villages and towns they passed through. On this video, a 9 or 10-year-old boy stands at the front of a classroom and recites from the Quran. The Afghan Media Resource Center in Peshawar now has more than 100,000 still photographs and thousands of hours of raw videotape of this rugged country in the late 1980s and early 90s. This year, anthropology professor David Edwards negotiated to have the center's extensive archive shipped to Williams College in Western Massachusetts. Professor Edwards is now digitizing the photographs and films. Looking at a tape shot near Mazar-e Sharif, Edwards says the cameramen had an advantage over Western reporters in that they spoke the language.
Everyday conversations going on between people. All of this was accessible to them in a way it wasn't accessible to Western cameramen. And they shot that. So it gives you a view of everyday life, both within the guerrilla groups themselves, but also in the civilian population that you get nowhere else.
Cameras pan through the dusty streets of bazaars on market day. The cameras linger on lines of men at prayer and mosques. One tape starts with a wide shot of about 24 men on horses galloping across an arid hillside.
This is buskashi, which is a game played in northern Afghanistan on horseback. Closest thing I can think of is rugby on horseback.
Instead of a ball, the central object of the game is a decapitated calf. The riders on one team attempt to carry the carcass past a flagpole and then deposit it in a circle in the dirt.
Here you see these two guys riding side by side trying to take control of the calf, which is just that hulk of a thing at the side of the horse there. The man has his whip in his mouth and his hair blowing behind him.
In this scene, a school teacher is drilling a group of young boys on the Arabic alphabet. Another tape follows a group of Mujahideen fighters tossing plastic explosives into a river and then gathering the dead fish for dinner. Many videos show life in the guerrilla camps.
You can see also that the people involved in the fighting are sometimes 60 years old.
Seated in front of a computer, Edward scrolls through a sequence of still photographs of a man in a dark tunic.
This old guy, he has a red beard only because he's put henna all over it, and he's carrying an old antique sword, probably belonging to one of his ancestors. And a lot of these, the old men viewed their participation in the fighting as really living up to the ideal of their ancestor.
The man dramatically thrusts the sword out at the empty plateau in front of him. Edwards says the archive is like a huge collection of anthropologists' field notes, painting a picture of pre-Taliban Afghanistan.
It's the tribal society, the ethnic groups, the village life, the economic and social activities, the ritual life of the people is now as it was then.
Selections from the center's archive will be on display this March at the Asia Society in New York City. Edwards at Williams College plans to make the digitized backup of the archive available to researchers and historians, and eventually, he hopes, it will be sent back to Kabul as a resource for the Afghan people. For NPR News, I'm Jason Beaubien in Williamstown, Massachusetts.